Welcome everyone to our evening worship service. Just a reminder of the things that are on this week and next Lord's Day. Tuesday night is a missionary meeting at 8 o'clock in the church hall, and Phil Dunn is due to be here to speak on the work of European Mission Fellowship. And then on Friday night at 8 o'clock in the church hall again is the first meeting of the senior CY for this year from 8 o'clock to 9:30. Next Lord's Day then, Sabbath school classes at 11, morning worship at 12, the evening prayer meeting at 7:10, and the evening service then at 7:30. We join together in worship this evening. We look to God in prayer, and if you're able, please stand now as we pray. Our gracious God, we look to you now tonight as we draw near in worship, and we thank you, Lord, that you're the God who is behind all that we read in the Scriptures. We thank you that in your word we learn about yourself. We learn about your way of saving sinners, and we thank you for that wonderful way through your own only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks for the things that we have seen in your word as we've looked to the Scriptures and remembered the Lord Jesus Christ as the one in whom sinners are reconciled to God. And we ask for your help this evening as we come to you, and as we come to you in thanksgiving, reflecting upon our salvation and seeing what a great thing that is. Lord, we praise you for the great blessing that you have poured out upon all of those who are in Christ. And we pray that you help us now in this time of worship. We pray, Lord, that your word, as it comes to us, that we would be able to understand that word, that we would be able to see what we are to expect for those who have been brought into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to see, O Lord, what our duty is, and we pray, Lord, that we will be able to delight in the things that you teach us in your word. Forgive us our sins, we pray, and help us now in this evening time of worship. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, let us read together from God's word. Reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians chapter 1, and on this occasion I want to read from verse 19 of Colossians 1 and reading through to verse 10 of chapter 2, page 1046 in our Pew Bible. Colossians chapter 1 and reading from verse 19. Let us hear God's word. For it pleased the Father that in him, that's in Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. And so reads God's own true word. Well, tonight we come to the end of our January communion season, and our theme has been those words that are there on page 1046 of our church Bible, the heading that is given to the section from verse 19 to 23. Those three words, reconciled in Christ. And we've been thinking of the gospel message of reconciliation. In our preparation service, we considered reconciliation needed, focusing on verse 21. And then earlier today in our communion service, we looked at reconciliation accomplished, and that was based on verse 22. And now at this Thanksgiving service, I want to speak on reconciliation maintained. And here, perhaps unsurprisingly, we'll be thinking of the words in verse 23. Colossians 1, verse 23, it says, verse 22 talks about being presented holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. And then it says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Sometimes in life, there can be a reconciliation that takes place between two parties that have been in conflict, but it doesn't last. It's not a lasting reconciliation. The relationship breaks down again. Well, what about the reconciling work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Will that prove to be something that lasts, or will that be something where things will break down? Relationships that last are a beautiful thing. Recently in the news, I don't know if you'll have noticed it, wasn't a major news item, but there was a little piece about an English couple, Ron and Joyce Bond. They're a married couple in Milton Keynes in England. And Ron is 102 years old, and his young wife, Joyce, she's just 100 years old. And they live together in a retirement village. And on the 4th of January this year, they celebrated their 81st wedding anniversary. 81 years, and they're still together, and they're still going strong. And no one expects anything else. No one expects anything else than that those two will stay together as a married couple for as long as they both shall live. And that's the expectation that Christians should have as well in terms of our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We should expect that after Jesus paid such a great price to reconcile us to God and God to us, that this will be a relationship that lasts. We should expect a lasting relationship in light of what we saw earlier today in verse 22, which speaks of the judgment day and of Christ presenting those who trust in him as those who are forever holy, blameless, and above reproach. There's no scope there for a relationship breakdown. And there's nothing in verse 23 that is meant to make you doubt that your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ will be a lasting relationship. There is an if there in verse 23, but it's not an if that you should be afraid of. The if that is there is not meant to make you doubt that your relationship will last. It's not that kind of if. Imagine that someone needs this evening to know where the ladies' toilet is, and I tell you, well, if you go out that door and you turn right, you'll find it. And I say, if you do that, and I have no doubt that that's what you'll do. You'll go out the door, you'll turn right, and you'll find it. And so it is in what we're told here. We're told about Christ's reconciling work, an absolutely thorough work that presents people holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight, if indeed they continue in the faith. And the expectation is, and that's exactly what they will do. Anyone who has been truly brought out of alienation into reconciliation with God, they will continue. And this evening, I want to speak about reconciliation maintained. Paul is stating here in this verse that those who have been reconciled to God, that they will press on, they will work at maintaining that relationship. Just like Ron and Joyce continue to work at maintaining their marriage relationship after these 81 years. I want to speak first of all about maintaining faith. Now, I know it says maintaining, it talks about the faith, and there's a difference between the faith and your personal faith. But it requires your personal faith to continue in the faith. So I'm going to speak first of all about maintaining faith. And those whom Christ has reconciled will continue in the faith. They will indeed continue in the faith. And we should take great heart from that teaching. The Lord Jesus Christ has gone to great lengths to seek and to save what was lost. And having found us, he is not going to lose us again. He's not going to allow us to become lost, since he has sought us out and found us. those who are brought into saving faith in Jesus Christ will continue in the faith. Those who have been delivered from condemnation, those who have been delivered from bondage to sin, delivered from darkness, delivered from emptiness, will not want to go back into those things. Rather, we will want to continue in the faith, for we have never known anything better than the faith that we're brought into through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have brought to be at peace with God through the Lord Jesus, well then, you will continue in the faith. And that's what Paul expected of those believers in Colossae, that they would indeed continue in the faith. And he expected that they would do more than just continue, just keep the momentum going. Paul says that they will continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast. For young people, the word grounded maybe is a bit of a scary word. You don't want to be grounded in a certain sense, but there's another sense in which you really do want to be grounded. It's a good thing to be grounded. It's a good thing to be grounded and steadfast. If you're married, it's good to be married to someone who is grounded and steadfast, rather than married to someone who lives in a fantasy world and always chasing things that are just unrealistic. I'm reading the life story of Captain Tom at the minute. I think I started it a year ago and I got bogged down at a certain stage, but I have revived my reading of the life of Captain Tom. And he entered into a marriage where he didn't really know the girl that he was marrying, and she turned out to be something that was quite different from what he imagined she was. And it was a very, very difficult relationship for him. She wasn't grounded and steadfast as a human being. But Paul is writing here about Christians who are grounded and steadfast in the faith. And grounded, that's a word you'll understand. I would think that that's relating to buildings. A building has to be grounded. And the idea is that of having a good, solid foundation. To be built on that which is solid rather than something that is flimsy and shifting. Built on the rock rather than on the sand or on the miry clay. And it's good to be grounded. It's good to have good foundations. It's good to have a faith that will withstand the sorrows and setbacks of life, the frustrations and failures of life, the illnesses and irritations of life, to withstand these things because you see all of them through the eyes of faith. Grounded people are people who stick around and don't get blown off course. And Paul says, you will continue in the faith, grounded in the faith. And not only does he use that word grounded, but he also uses the word steadfast. And steadfast isn't a word that relates to buildings, but it's a word that relates to seats and being seated. Perhaps there's someone in your household or in your family circle, and once, I'm going to say he because it would be most typically a he rather than a she, once he gets in from his day's work, and once he has everything read up, he will sit down and there he will remain. Immovable, well and truly settled for as long as he's going to be awake. Well, that's the picture that we have. Those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and are going to continue in the faith, they are steadfast, they are settled, they are firm in that which they've entered into. Those who have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be no moving them. They are grounded and they are steadfast. And if you're a Christian, you should expect to be a Christian for every day of life that God gives to you. And you will continue in the ways that are the good ways. You'll continue grounded and steadfast. And your groundedness may be tested, but if you're grounded, you'll pass the test. And so this is what God calls upon us to be. He wants us that having been reconciled to himself, that we continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast. And this will be good for us, and this will be good for the honor of our Savior. It's good when those who profess to have been saved by Jesus Christ are looked upon with respect, and this is what Paul is writing about here. So in terms of reconciliation maintained, the first thing is maintaining faith. And then the second thing from verse 23, I want to speak about maintaining hope. Those whom Christ has reconciled will be those who are, as Paul says here, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And when you know your sins have been forgiven, when you know that you're at peace with God, then your thinking about life and the details of life changes. And you cease to be gripped and dominated by fear and by dread. And you find something that you've never had before. You find a sure and certain hope. And we need to maintain that hope that we are given in Christ. We need to make sure that we are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And the hope of the gospel is not a hope that is confined to the eternal age to come. There is nothing better in this present age, in this present life, than to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Life as a Christian may be difficult, it may be challenging, but it is far, far better to face the difficult things in life, knowing that we have the hope of the gospel, rather than being those who are without hope and without God in the world. So we need to appreciate the hope of the gospel, and we need to strive to maintain the hope of the gospel for our daily lives here and now. Christians are to be hopeful people in this present age. Let us remind ourselves of what we know. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. We know that, and therefore we have that hope for every day of life. That will be true. And God calls upon you, if you're a professing Christian, to maintain your gospel hope for this present life, to maintain that gospel hope for the here and now, whatever today holds, whatever tomorrow may hold you, that you're not to be moved away from the hope of the gospel. And of course, the hope of the gospel extends beyond the here and now, beyond these days. And we have the sure and certain hope for believers that if we die, we will be with Christ, which is better by far. We have the sure and certain hope of resurrection, and we have the sure and certain hope of eternal life. We have the hope that is held out to us in all the scripture promises about the life to come, when all will be wonderful, where we will be with the Lord and with his people forever, and where there is no possibility that sin will get an entrance and will spoil anything at all. We have this hope, and we need to maintain this hope. And you see, people who don't know peace with God, they don't have much hope in their lives. And that's something that that has become increasingly evident in recent times. These days, in general society, there's not much hope. In these times of pandemic, of climate crisis, of rising inflation, of the concerns about what's going to happen in Ukraine and in other places in the world, many people are left in a measure of despair. They don't have hope. But those who are at peace with God can be as lights shining in the darkness. And that's what we will be. That's what we will be if we're not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And so, on an ongoing basis, we need to remind ourselves of the hope of the gospel. We need to keep on hoping. We need to maintain hope. And Paul says, and that's what you'll do. You'll continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and you'll not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. You'll hold your ground. You'll keep your eyes on that great hope. And you'll not get dragged in to what other people are thinking about and fearing and dreading. Maintaining hope. That's two things. Maintaining faith, maintaining hope. I couldn't think of any nice little short word. I don't like long words, but I'm afraid I have one. The third thing is maintaining exclusivity. You might have to think hard how to spell that word if you're trying to take notes. As long as you know what it is, it doesn't matter how you spell it. Maintaining exclusivity. This is the third thing in terms of reconciliation maintained. When Ron and Joyce Bond got married in January 1941, they would have taken marriage vows to each other. And maybe there was something in those marriage vows, I'm sure there probably was, about forsaking all others. Forsaking all others. Marriage is an exclusive relationship. Marriage to one person excludes marriage to anyone else at the same time. And Paul is writing here about an exclusive relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his letter to the Colossians, he's warning the believers in that church about false teachers who were proclaiming a different message from the one that Paul preached. And the Colossians needed to reject the false teaching, and they needed to stick to the true gospel. They needed to be loyal to the true gospel. And that same thing is needed in the world today. We need to be people who are devoted to the true apostolic gospel, and not some watered-down modern version, not being lured away by some modern counterfeit gospel that is more palatable to the 21st century Western world. We have to be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ that we find in the scriptures. And the Colossians, they were not to be moved away from the hope of the gospel. but instead they were to be exclusively devoted to that one true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom alone there is reconciliation. And so Paul commends to them and us the gospel that is so precious to him. He calls it the gospel which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now, it wasn't Paul that had taken the gospel to Colossae in the first place. It was a man called Epaphras who had been the preacher of the gospel, the bringer of good news. You'll see that in chapter 1, verse 7. But it was the true gospel that Epaphras had brought to Colossae. And that same gospel had been preached in many other places, and everywhere that that gospel was preached, people believed, and people were reconciled to God in Christ. And Paul says that he himself has become a minister of the gospel, or another word would be a servant of the gospel, because the gospel was his message, but the gospel was also his master, and he was mastered by his message. Paul was devoted to the gospel message. He was married to the gospel, as it were. Where he went, the gospel went. And there was only one faith that Paul preached. There was only one hope that Paul preached. There was only one gospel that Paul loved. And he forsook all others. He rejected all others. And he kept himself for the gospel of Christ alone. And throughout the letter to the Colossians, that's what he's calling upon his readers to do also, to keep themselves for the true gospel only, and not allow their eyes to look elsewhere or the ears to listen to other things, but to delight themselves in the true gospel, that that would be their love and delight. And Paul's desire throughout the letter to the Colossians is to bring us to understand that through our relationship with Christ, we are made complete. Chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. And Paul believed that in Christ we are complete, and there's nothing to be added to what we are in Christ. When you finish a jigsaw puzzle, when you've finished it, when you put the last piece in place, you don't look for any other pieces. You admire the picture that has been put together there, one piece at a time. You admire the picture. And so it is to be with us and Christ. We are to admire how wonderful a work he has done. Jesus Christ does a wonderful work of reconciliation. And we need to marvel at that work, rejoice in it, and delight in it. And our task in this present life is to maintain that relationship that we have been gifted by our Lord Jesus Christ and brought into by our Lord Jesus Christ. And for us, there can be no room for any other gospel, any other thought of other ways by which people can be accepted by God or anything like that. There is one who reconciles, and he is to be everything to us. Paul calls for us to maintain this exclusive trust in Christ, believing that his gospel is the gospel, that everybody needs to hear this gospel. Nothing else is going to work. Exclusively committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Reconciliation needed. Reconciliation accomplished. And reconciliation maintained. If you are in Christ, you will continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and you'll not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. And that gospel that was precious to the Apostle Paul, meant everything to him, that gospel will be precious to you, and you'll not have eyes or a heart for any other. Reconciliation maintained. Now, that should be our expectation. That should be our desire. That's what we should seek to strive for. Amen. Now we look to God in prayer this evening. I mentioned earlier that tonight in Ballyclobber, four men are due to be ordained and installed as elders. Those men are Evan Freeman, Timothy McCahan, Andrew McCollum, and James McCollum. So we remember those men in our prayers. And if you've read the prayer points on the announcement sheet today, you've noticed there that the Lochbrickland situation present, the Dunlap family that are moving from the States, there's been a delay in their move. There was something wrong with Mrs. Dunlap's application, and that had to be resubmitted. And so they're hoping that things will move along quickly, because she's expecting their fourth child, and there's some date in early February, I think, that she needs to travel before then, or she'll not be able to travel for several months after that. And so we remember them in that situation and pray that things will progress well. Well, we look now to God in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we return thanks to you for the truths that we see in your word. We thank you for that relationship that the Lord Jesus Christ brings us into, and how he deals with our sin. And Lord, we thank you for the confidence we can have in that relationship will last, that it's not going to peter out. Lord, we pray that you will help us to press on in the faith. And we pray that you help us to keep on believing, help us to keep on hoping, and help us to keep on delighting in the gospel and seeing from one angle after another how truly great the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Lord, we pray that you would so work in our hearts that these things will be true of us. We give thanks, Lord, for the gathering in Ballyclobber tonight, for the answer to the prayers of your people there. We thank you for four men who were elected as elders, and four men who have agreed to take on that role and have been accepted by the session there. And we pray for them. We pray for Evan and Tim and Andrew and James. And we pray for them as they enter into this work. And we pray, Lord, that you would equip them in every way for what their work in Ballyclobber will involve. We pray that you'll give them wisdom, and we pray that you'll cause them to be a blessing unto others. We pray that they'll be a blessing to the men who are serving as elders there in the congregation. And we pray, Lord, that the present elders and the new elders will work well together. We pray that you will bless their relationships, and we ask, Lord, for your church there. You build your church, and there will be much good that you would bring about. We pray, Lord, for vacant congregations. We pray for our churches in this presbytery, in Drumbolg and in Dervock, and in Ballylagan. Pray, Lord, for your help for the next session meeting in Ballylagan on Thursday night of this week, and pray that in all the things that will be discussed there, that you would give help in finding good ways forward. We pray for the congregations that that haven't made out calls as yet. We pray for Knockbracken and Creva and Rathfryland and Stranorler. And we pray in those vacancies that you will be encouraging the people and helping them to think about what would be the best in their situation. And Lord, we pray that you would be doing a good work there, and that people that they will keep the faith, and that they will not lose hope. But Lord, that you would be strengthening them for the things that they face. We pray that you will encourage our missionaries across the water in Spain and in France. And Lord, we pray that new opportunities will open up for them in this year. And we pray, Lord, that you will guide and direct in all the decisions that have to be made about buildings and about the location of work and where people will live and minister. And Lord, we pray that you will do great things in France and in Spain, and that not just with the missionaries that have gone out from our church, O Lord, but in those needy lands, we pray that there'll be many, many places where the gospel light will shine clearly. We pray, Father, for the Dunlap family seeking to move from the States to Lochbrickland. We pray that that visa issue will be dealt with quickly, and that they would be able to travel this month. And Lord, we pray that a new ministry can begin there after the vacancy in Lochbrickland. We pray for our college students. We give thanks, Lord, for the men training at the Theological College, for Johnny and for Kenny. We pray for their wives. We ask, Lord, for Charlene and for Joanna, that you'll be with these ladies in their pregnancies, and we pray that all will go well. We pray for Charlene, who's expecting next month, and Joanna in May. And Lord, we pray that you will guard these little ones in the womb, and we pray that in time you will add to the families. And we pray for energy for parents in the busyness of looking after young children, and in all the other things that they're seeking to do as well. We pray that you will help these men, O Lord, in their training, and may they be able to delight in all the stuff that they're learning. Help them as they go about preaching in different places. And we pray that you, O Lord, will bring them forward and help them to make progress in all that's ahead for them. We thank you, Lord, for this communion season. We praise you for the truths there in your word. And we pray that these things, O Lord, will be full of meaning to us. And we pray, Father, that you will help us to recall with thanksgiving something of that work of our Lord Jesus, and to rejoice in the truth of being reconciled in Christ. Lord, hear our prayers, and we ask all in his great name. Amen. We sing to God's praise some verses in Psalm 72. The tune is Effingham number 80. Psalm 72, and we sing these words that point us to the Lord Jesus Christ, the King to whom all other kings bow. Psalm 72 at stanza 8. May all kings down before him bow, may nations all him serve. For he the needy saves who call, the poor who no help have. He'll have compassion on the weak and those in need who live, and to the souls of needy ones he will salvation give. From cruelty and violence their souls he will set free, and also in his sight their blood will very precious be. And then stanzas 14 to 16. O may his name endure always, long as the sun will last. May men be blessed in him, and may all nations call him blessed. Now blessed be the Lord our God, the God of Israel, for he alone does wondrous works and glory that excel. And blessed be his glorious name to all eternity. O may his glory fill the earth. Amen. So let it be. And it is our reconciling Saviour, the Lord Jesus, who is spoken of here in these words, and we are to praise him. He is the one who saves those who have no help. He is the one who saves the needy. And he is the one in whose eyes his people are very precious indeed. Psalm 72, we sing 8 to 10, and also 14 to 16, and we use the tune Effingham number 80. And after the singing of the psalm, then I close in the benediction and also dissolve session. Psalm 72 from stanza 8. Receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And I now declare the session to be dissolved from its constituted capacity.